We've watched for several years now as nature pitted the recovery of one kind of animal against another. It played out at fish ladders at dams, where sea lions would line up to feast on the fish heading into the ladders trying to get upstream. Wildlife biologists have worked hard to bring up the numbers of the fish. Several kinds of salmonid species are still lagging in population numbers. But the scientists also worked hard to bring depressed populations of marine mammals up. And a new study of the numbers show the marine mammals having a big impact, especially on Chinook salmon. We have two guests with us from the NOAA Fisheries. That's the the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Fisheries Division, formerly known as the National Marine Fisheries Service, Conservation Biology Division, Northwest Fisheries Science Center. Isaac Kaplan, one of the authors of the study, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And Eric Ward is with us as well. Thank you for joining us, Eric.
Great to be here. Thanks.
I don't know which person to throw the questions to. It sounds like your expertise is fairly similar, but so just jump in and let us know who you are. We have seen reports for years about the consumption of salmon, especially in the example I just gave about seals at dams. What did you set out to do through this research, Isaac?
Yes, so this was really a team effort. So we were trying to put together the pieces of this ecosystem puzzle. We actually had 14 co-authors on this paper, led by Brandon Chasko, and part of the effort was really coordinating folks, scientists from not just from NOAA, but also from state agencies, tribal agencies, nonprofit organizations, and also academics and others. And the lead on this is actually Brandon Chasko, who's at Oregon State University. And so what we really tried to do was to calculate the total prey needs that marine mammals require. And so those marine mammals were killer whales or orcas, harbor seals, California and Stellar sea lions. And we were trying to quantify how much Chinook salmon these marine mammals are eating. And you know, really the take-home message is that we find that salmon recovery is not just a fish problem in the end. It's not just a fishing problem, but it's really a full ecosystem problem. So we focused on this paper on the predation impacts. So predation on Chinook salmon by marine mammals, and of course other factors like dams and habitat damage are also important.
So what kind of data can you pull in for research like this? It's not like you have the ability to track every marine mammal out there and what they're eating every day.
Sure. So we have some very good information on marine mammal abundance. So we have counts of most of the pinnipeds, so the seals and sea lions. And there's some uncertainty around that, but we have quite extensive counts of those, and Eric can detail that a bit more. We also have quite extensive and precise information on killer whale populations. And then the diet information is actually the crucial part of this question. And so what are marine mammals eating? How much Chinook salmon are they eating? And there's actually some really exciting new research there. We've had decades of stomach content samples and scat or feces samples, and then recently we've had new DNA barcoding work. One of the collaborators on this was Austin Thomas, and he's done some really exciting new DNA work to really start to nail down those diets of pinnipeds in particular.
Let's back up a few steps. Eric Ward, I do want to hear about the Marine Mammal Protection Act of 1972 and what kind of shape marine mammals were in that led to that act.
Right, so before 1972, back in the 1950s and 60s even, we had bounties for many of the populations of pinnipeds on the West Coast, and similar harvests were being done around the world. In the 1970s, in 1972, the U.S. passed the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which prohibited any harvest or slaughter of marine mammals or trading of marine mammal parts. And similar acts were passed about the same time around the world. And since then, what we've really seen is huge rebounds in those population sizes. So I think, for example, harbor seals in Washington State have increased tenfold since 1970.
Wow.
So we're seeing these are largely success stories, and we're seeing them play out across all kinds of different marine mammals, but those recoveries have effects on some of the fish lower down the food chain.
So then how central is salmon to the marine mammal diet?
That's a really good question. I think there's a range salmon plays a range of importance across different species of marine mammals. So we can look at species like orcas that are salmon specialists, and for some of the orca populations in our analysis, salmon contributed close to 100% of the total diet. But then on the other end of the spectrum, we have species like harbor seals that consume relatively small amounts of salmon. So Chinook salmon might represent less than 5% of a seal's diet. But because there's so many seals, those numbers can have actually a large impact.
We are talking about the impact that marine mammals are having on Chinook salmon populations as followed in a new study called Competing Trade-Offs Between Increasing Marine Mammal Predation and Fisheries Harvest of Chinook Salmon. Two of the authors are with us, Isaac Kaplan and Eric Ward from the Northwest Fisheries Science Center at NOAA Fisheries. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Isaac, you did focus on Chinook salmon here. Why them alone and not more broadly salmon species?
Well, part of the context for this work was thinking about southern resident killer whales, which do rely, as Eric mentioned, quite heavily on Chinook salmon. And so that was one of the motivations for thinking about what are the other predators, what are the other marine mammals that also are consuming Chinook salmon. And, of course, also Chinook salmon are a major commercial species and recreational species.
So what do we show here, then? What do the numbers show about the numbers of Chinook salmon relative to the Chinook salmon consumed by the marine mammals you're following?
So when we look at the numbers specifically, we see essentially over the last 40 years that predation by marine mammals in terms of the biomass of Chinook salmon, so that the tons of Chinook salmon eaten, has gone up about more than twofold. And the numbers of Chinook salmon, including juvenile fish that are eaten, has actually increased almost sixfold, and that's on a coastwide basis, from Central California up to the Gulf of Alaska. And so it's been a really dramatic increase in the predation pressure on Chinook salmon. And it's actually, while that predation pressure has increased, we've actually decreased the fisheries harvest. And so it's a balancing act, and there's competing objectives, both harvest and salmon recovery, and then also the requirements to sustain marine mammal populations, both protected species, including orcas and also the pinnipeds.
So humans are consciously taking less of the salmon harvest based on what we know the numbers to be, but the marine mammals are under no such guidelines and are taking plenty.
Right. It's really, I think that we get questions about why can't we set aside a quota for marine mammals, and the problem is that they won't behave like fisheries. They won't only take the number of salmon that we tell them to eat or only eat salmon from particular areas, so it's complicated.
All right, yeah, it's not like you can go out there and tell the marine mammals, no, just this amount. But this is some interesting stuff here. And how close a correlation do you find, Eric, between the numbers that we have cut back in human harvest versus what the marine mammals are taking?
Well, it's like Isaac said, we're really trying to establish what the marine mammal needs are relative to how much human harvest has changed, and we see pretty strong correlations between over the last 40 years between declines of human harvest and increases in marine mammal predation. And I think part of this is also complicated by the fact that salmon just have a really complicated migration, whereas juveniles, they're coming out of their natal rivers into the ocean and swimming north up to Alaska in some cases. And then as adults, they turn around 2 or 3 years later and then migrate back to where they came from in Oregon or Washington, for example. And throughout that journey, they experience a range of predation. So they experience fisheries in Alaska, fisheries in British Columbia, as well as the different predation pressures from populations of marine mammals also in those areas.
It could be a little confusing to see the difference in the take of tons, metric tons of fish by marine mammals and the individual fish, but it begins to make more sense when you think of them in terms of the juveniles that you mentioned earlier, Eric. So the concern is that the more individual fish that are consumed, the less they'll be around to grow later on into bigger fish.
Exactly. And so we could have this competition also between marine mammal species where in some cases, the harbor seals or other species like birds could be eating the juveniles and not really eating adults. But then if the harbor seals are eating all of the juveniles, there won't be as many adults available to be caught in fisheries or for orcas.
Eric Ward and Isaac Kaplan are two of the 14 authors of a piece called Competing Trade-Offs Between Increasing Marine Mammal Predation and Fisheries Harvest of Chinook Salmon in Nature.com Scientific Reports, dated November 20th. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I'm sure there have been lots of questions over the years, particularly, and again, the example we started with the sea lions camping out at the fish ladders. But, Isaac, any take under the Marine Mammal Protection Act has to come through your agency, doesn't it?
Yes, so I have to admit I'm not a policy expert on take policies. But we are, NOAA has authorized removal of individual pinnipeds at specific locations. But there's no effort for sort of broad scale reduction in pinniped numbers.
Can I just add to that too?
Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
I think so. Part of it is complicated. There's a really special rule under the Marine Mammal Protection Act where state agencies, for example, can remove pinnipeds that are a problem. But for those removals to happen, there's a couple things. They have to be kind of established repeat offenders, and they have to also demonstrate that they're not affected by other kinds of hazing that we might non-lethal hazing that we might also try. So we have to establish that the actual individuals that are the problem, and that can be done when you have situations like you started with, where seals and sea lions might be camping out in front of the dams and eating adult salmon. And what's hard about that is that when these seals or sea lions are eating juvenile salmon, it's much more hard to document which individuals are actually the problem.
So are there recommendations, Eric, within the pages of this report about what a way to move ahead might be?
We're not making recommendations in this particular paper. It's something that we're thinking about more, and I think there will be some follow-up work. Part of the problem is also, or it's not a part of the problem, but part of the issue is that the Marine Mammal Protection Act also puts a hard cap on the number of pinnipeds that can be removed from any particular population. And so for harbor seals, for example, the maximum removal is set to be about 6% of the total population per year. So it's not like we can go out and remove 50% or even 30% of the seals that are out there. We can only tinker with small amounts.
All right, but just to state the obvious, I mean, the super obvious, there would be more fish for people if there were fewer marine mammals eating the same fish we want.
Perhaps. I think that, yes. It certainly could be that if we reduce populations of marine mammals, there could be increases in fish available for fisheries or for larger populations of orcas, for example. But it's not necessary. We don't necessarily know that that's exactly how things would play out. It could be that removing seals would create larger populations of juvenile fish available for species like cormorants or other birds or other populations of marine mammals down the line.
There are a couple of hot spots you mentioned where the marine mammal take is especially high. What are those hot spots, Eric?
Well, the hot spots, I think, are generally thought to be where the populations of marine mammals are the highest. And so for species of salmon like Chinook that are migrating through areas of high-density seal habitat, for example, in the Salish Sea in inland Washington or British Columbia, that is one particular hot spot for juvenile Chinook. For adult Chinook, I think another hot spot is areas where there's high numbers of orcas, and so in the Northeast Pacific, there's over 2,500 of these fish-eating killer whales, and so as you go north to Alaska, these populations are really large. That could be another potential hot spot.
And okay. If I can just build on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Those hot spots have been known and studied quite extensively for decades, and so in Seattle we've got places like the Ballard Locks and at the dams as well, where there's been a lot of documentation of marine mammal predation on Chinook salmon. And I think one of the things that this paper does is take a step back and look at the total consumption across the whole ecosystem, across the whole range from California up to the Gulf of Alaska, and really try to quantify the predation that happens sort of beyond the view of people sitting at the dams or at the locks.
So that is just one small part of a much larger story.
It is, exactly. And that larger story is really driven by these large and growing marine mammal populations that that spend a lot of time moving throughout the region.
So you mentioned some of the more visible situations, Ballard Locks. I think they actually were naming the sea lions, like Herschel, I remember, from several years ago. I kind of lost my train of thought here, but how do you move ahead, Isaac, I guess, is the big thing.
Sure. So I think, you know, the main recommendations that we have from this really hinge on thinking about management strategies that that explicitly trade off between these objectives, that really recognize that salmon recovery is not just about salmon, it's also about demands by predators, but also sort of meeting the needs of recovering predator populations. And the other recommendation that we have from this paper moving forward is that fishing effort really, in the past, salmon fishing management has really focused on looking at fishing effort and fishing mortality across time and space. And so this paper really says we should be thinking across the whole West Coast and across seasons and years about how predation mortality also is a factor really driving Chinook salmon populations and really influencing this major goal of Chinook salmon recovery.
So push the focus out a bit, both in time and in space.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
All right. It's a really interesting report with a lot of great numbers in it. It's called Competing Trade-Offs Between Increasing Marine Mammal Predation and Fisheries Harvest of Chinook Salmon. In the November 20th issue of Scientific Reports at Nature.com, we have two of the 14 co-authors with us, Isaac Kaplan and Eric Ward from the Northwest Fisheries Science Center for NOAA Fisheries, formerly the National Marine Fisheries Service. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks very much.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care.